Today on Text Justice Warriors, I am going to ponder some of the questions behind the tax system. Is the tax system legitimate? Should we be paying taxes? And what are some of the consequences for ignoring notices from the IRS? Now, after all, it's tempting to either ignore the notices or just not pay the IRS at all. You know, what's the harm in doing that? So thank you for tuning in and listening to Tax Justice Warriors.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
Now, my introduction was a little bit tongue-in-cheek that I do believe that the tax system is justified, but pretty often we will come across people who can be easily labeled as tax protesters and that the IRS says has frivolous arguments. And I wanted to dive into a little bit of what some of the arguments are and just what some of the consequences are for making those arguments to the IRS and the tax court. First of all, I'm going to turn to a tax court case, Scott F. Wnuck, W-N-U-C-K, versus Commissioner of the Internal Revenue, docket number 13954-13L. Within the judge's order, it says that petitioner had filed a motion to dismiss, and it is described as a lengthy document replete with pseudo-legal rant and railing against the Internal Revenue Service and the federal tax system that it opened with the following paragraph. My purpose of this primary missive with you is to request a court order of dismissal for lack of jurisdiction for the YIQ, year in question, that is 2009, listed above in the IRS Notice of Determination immediately against the IRS for the fraudulent claims, presumptions created by fraudulent substitute for return documents and willful disregard of their limited jurisdiction. Also for reason of their maligned attempt to compel me to associate with the national government as a statutory, in quotes, U.S. person / U.S. taxpayer by their notice of determination presumptions. Petitioner's motion concluded with the following footnote appearing below petitioner's signature and his self-styled title of, in quotes, American national domiciled in the Constitutional Republic holding no public office and not a statutory U.S. person, end quotes. The footnote states, I'm an American national, one who is not a statutory U.S. person, who has no domicile within any federal jurisdiction. I do not derive any income by being engaged in the conduct of a trade or business, the performance of the functions of a public office, within the United States. American nationals so described are non-taxpayers for the subtitle A, federal income tax, as no liability exists per 26 Code of Federal Regulations, Section 1.871-1A, and no liability exists per 31 U.S.C. 321D1 and 2, gift or bequest. Now, the order goes on to deny the petitioner's motion, and this is part of the precedent within the U.S. tax court against the tax protester motions that I wanted to read to you some of the language that a tax protester may be using. Now, I monitor designated orders as part of a group within Procedurally Taxing, the blog site, and I came across one for William Michael Calpino Jr. and Kelly Joe Calpino, the Commissioner of the Internal Revenue, docket number 11368-18L. Now, this order and decision documents how during previous actions before the tax court, the petitioners were fined a $1,000 penalty under Section 6373. And in that case where they received the penalty, the petitioners set forth a, quote, in the order and decision, a series of stale and long repudiated frivolous positions to the effect that wages are not taxable, that they were not taxpayers or U.S. persons or U.S. residents, and thus they were not liable for tax on their income, and that the IRS had not followed proper procedures. In each case, the IRS filed a motion to impose sanctions under Section 6673. Now, then the order goes through the history of their current tax court case, that basically they have made those arguments again. And in reviewing regarding a penalty, Section 6673A1 provides for a penalty not to exceed $25,000 whenever it appears to the tax court that A, proceedings before it have been instituted or maintained primarily for delay, or B, the taxpayer's position is frivolous or groundless. We need neither repeat nor address the arguments made by petitioners in each of the cases they have filed in this court since late 2014. Petitioners' contentions are clearly frivolous, as explained in innumerable cases over several decades. Petitioners' theory that citizens and residents of various states are not subject to federal jurisdiction because the applicable statutes include certain federal territories in the statement of coverage is an argument that includes, means only, and excludes anything else. Such interpretive arguments have been consistently rejected in strong terms, even in judicial opinions sustaining criminal convictions. So it goes on to show that their arguments are not merely frivolous, but beyond frivolous and frivolous squared. In past descriptions of legislation regarding tax court and tax protesters. So it is saying that no further discussion of petitioners' stale theories is warranted. Petitioners were warned before and in prior cases were previously penalized $1,000, and that the IRS motion is granted and a penalty of $25,000 is awarded to the United States in that case. Now, looking into it, there are some times that the tax court is slow in building regarding the penalties, such as the $1,000 one, but this is certainly an instance where the taxpayers or tax protesters have hit the maximum that the tax court can easily lose patience with those individuals. Now, in glancing through the order and decision, I wasn't completely sure what the amount at liability is, but I don't believe it was quite near the $25,000 penalty. So to me, compliance is a much better idea than doing this tax protesting. At least it's certainly much more economical, much less costly financially, but some people do want to stick to their convictions. If you want to learn more about frivolous tax arguments, I do suggest you do a word search on the IRS website for frivolous arguments. There is a 73-page document from March 2018 on the IRS website that details various frivolous tax arguments and talks about the penalties that can be applied under 6673. There are 28 frivolous tax arguments in general, and then 16 related to collection due process hearings. Now, I'm not going to go through all of the general frivolous tax arguments, but I am going to read the categories: the voluntary nature of the federal income tax system, the meaning of income, taxable income, and gross income, the meaning of certain terms used in the Internal Revenue Code, constitutional amendment claims, and fictional legal bases. So I'm going to pick through some highlights from what they mention. Like I was referring to before, they believe that the filing of a tax return is voluntary and that the payment of federal income tax is voluntary, that wages, tips, foreign source income, military retirement pay do not count as income, that taxpayers and are not citizens or persons subject to federal income taxes. The only employees subject to federal income tax are employees of the federal government. That the United States consists only of the District of Columbia, federal territories, and federal enclaves. And they invoke the 1st, 4th, 5th, 13th, and 16th Amendments as reasons to not be paying income taxes. And under fictional legal bases, the Internal Revenue Service is not an agency of the United States. African Americans can claim a special tax credit as reparations for slavery and other oppressive treatment. And the list does go on, I wanted to turn next to frivolous arguments in collection due process cases. Those code sections are 6320 pertaining to liens and 6330 pertaining to levies. That regarding the frivolous tax arguments, under section 6330G, the IRS may disregard any portion of a section 6320 or 6330 hearing request that is based upon a position identified as frivolous by the IRS in a published list or that reflects a desire to delay or impede tax administration. Such portion shall not be subject to any further administrative or judicial review. If the entire hearing request meets one or both of these criteria, the hearing request will be denied. Also, section 6702B allows imposition of a $5,000 penalty for specified frivolous submissions, including frivolous section 6320 or 6330 hearing requests, where any portion of the submission meets one or both of these criteria. Now, going through frivolous tax arguments raised in collection due process cases, the categories are invalidity of the assessment, invalidity of the statutory notice of deficiency, invalidity of the notice of federal tax lien, invalidity of the collection due process notice, that verification must be given as required by Internal Revenue Code Section 6330C1, invalidity of the statutory notice and demand, the tax code court authority saying that they do not have the authority to decide legal issues, challenges to the authority of IRS employees, use of unauthorized representatives, and authorization under Internal Revenue Code Section 7401 is required in a collection due process case. That I do certainly recommend reading through this information on frivolous tax arguments just to get familiar with it, and it's some fun reading at times. But what happens when you have a tax protester come to you and say that they want you to represent them before the IRS or before the tax court? Now, when I was a student at the UMKC, University of Missouri, Kansas City Law School Low Income Taxpayer Clinic, they said that they do not work with tax protesters. And in general, they were saying there are some people who like to be in control of things that are just difficult to work with. And by that, they were talking about lawyers, doctors, and airplane pilots, that these are people who want to be in charge and so want to tell you how to run the case. And I've also had people who just are telling me that they do not want to pay anything to the IRS. They may not necessarily be tax protesters, but they could be difficult to work with because they don't want to. I have heard that they do not want to give up another dime to the IRS, that they have been harassed and don't think what has happened to them is correct. For people who are difficult to deal with in general, I think it's perfectly fine to not work for them. There are some people that I've gone just far enough to investigate what is going on. If they do have a valid claim, then it is worth trying to dispute that with the IRS. But otherwise, I might get them into currently not collectible status and close their case out. It is certainly a judgment call in any case, but if the client is difficult to work with, I don't know that it is worth your time trying to keep them on as a client. So anyway, I wanted to let you know that the tax protester arguments do not hold any ground with the IRS or the tax court. They won't get a client very far and may get them penalties ranging from $5,000 to $25,000, depending on what kind of form it is in. So hopefully this will be a bit amusing for you, but it is serious business at times that these are people to avoid, and I hope this helps you out in your practice. Thank you for tuning in to Tax Justice Warriors.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique. so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.